My name is Nelson Cooney, and this workshop or this breakout session is on a concept. I don't think they really did a good job representing what we're going to talk about, but the idea is business leaders within a local church need a place where they can get counsel and support. And so over the last 2 years, we've created an organization that we call the Business Leadership Group. And a couple of the guys that are part of that group are here today, and we want to just sort of share how we set it up, what the vision for it was, and some of these guys are going to give testimonies about how it's really served them in business. You know, you're hearing a lot about accountability. You're hearing a lot about, you know, not being out there on your own like the world, being independent, and this group has really served us in that way. Like I said, my name is Nelson Cooney, and I have a business that raises money for hedge funds. It's funny, 4 years ago, nobody knew what a hedge fund was, so they'd look at me kind of perplexed when I'd say I raise money for hedge funds. Then we had the financial crisis and some of these things like Bernie Madoff and these scams, and now they think I'm like selling drugs when I market hedge funds. My son, who's 11, was disappointed because he was telling his friends that his dad sells headphones, which was a lot more impressive than hedge funds. And when I corrected him, he was kind of bummed out. But nevertheless, the vision for this came, I've been thinking about this concept for many years. And there's a scripture in Proverbs 18:1. We heard a lot about the Proverbs, but it's, whoever isolates himself, seeks his own desire, he breaks out against all sound judgment. And the principle is, in any time in life when you are isolated, when you are independent, you can easily be deceived. Our hearts are deceitful. And so the idea was, would there be benefit in organizing a group of business leaders to come together on a regular basis for accountability and to wrestle through business issues? And I felt like in our church, they talk about accountability a lot. So people were getting that in their personal life. They were getting that in their marriage. They were getting in their family life. But we really weren't getting that in business. There wasn't a context to talk about business issues. You might be part of a small group in your church, and I didn't always feel the freedom to talk about some business issue or a hiring issue or something related to my personal finances. It just wasn't ideal. And so a lot of times, business leaders, even in a Christian world, are pretty isolated. They're wrestling through these issues on their own. So I looked around, and there was a number of secular examples out there, and some of these guys had participated in these groups. There's a group called Vistage, which used to be called the Executive Council. And even the world, to some degree, recognizes the importance of having mutual accountability and giving counsel from a multitude of counselors. But the church didn't really have anything like that. So I thought, wouldn't it be great if we could copy that model, but really base it on biblical principles and be able to talk about biblical truth and to have a level of transparency and humility that you wouldn't find in a secular organization. So we started the group 2 years ago. And I just want to touch on what I'm going to do today is kind of walk you through the structure of this group at a very high level. We're going to take about 10 minutes. Then I've asked a couple of the members of the group to talk about how the group has served them, how they've benefited from it. And then we're going to leave about 30 to 40 minutes for Q&A. Because my hope is that this meeting could be a catalyst for many of you to go back to your local church and to set up a similar group. Like a lot of things in the kingdom, it's not a very complicated idea, but it's quite profound. And I think it's had a huge impact on each of our lives that you're going to hear today. So some of the principles. The first principle is you need to demand a high level of commitment. So many times when we start organizations or ministries, we try to keep the bar so low to get as many people to come in. And I think that that sets up a group for failure. And I believe you need to have a high level of commitment. So this group meets once a month for half a day. It's not something that meets for an hour in the morning where you can come sometimes, not come sometimes. You have to count the costs and say that I'm going to be a part of this group and come to all the meetings. The other way we raise the bar is we charge, it's $100 a meeting, whether you're there or not. So I find in life, you know, what you pay for, you really focus on. And we take that money. It's not the guys joke that it's my little slush fund. You know, don't put a hedge fund guy in charge of that. But we've actually used that for giving to other charities. You know, we've had different people in the group that have charities that they support, and we've been able to support their charities. We just had a nice dinner with the wives where we were able to reflect on what God's done this past year. So there's benefit from that, but I think it also demands more commitment and more accountability to the group. And then there's even an attendance policy where if you miss more than 3 meetings in a year, your participation in the group is in jeopardy. I mean, we all have valid things that come up, but the idea is you would put this on your calendar like a board meeting. It wouldn't just be like a lot of things that the church has, oh, I might try to go to that event. No, because people are counting on you, and the group is only going to become important and meaningful if we spend time together and we build relationship and there's trust there so we can really get in and be open and talk about real issues. So number one, demand a high level of commitment. Ours is a half a day once a month. The other key principle is having the right composition in the group. And there's different ways to structure it, but in this first group that we set up, I specifically targeted senior level executives. So these were senior people in companies or founders of companies, because I felt like there was sort of a common, there were common issues that these people were wrestling with. You could set it up, if you were a younger person, you could have younger guys or girls that are starting off in their career. You know, you could set it up for mid-level managers, but I think it was important to have people that were kind of at a similar place in life. I also think it's important to have diversity of experience. So if you look at our group, we have a lawyer, you know, a partner in a law firm. We have founders of family businesses. We have leaders of small businesses. We have senior executives, financial people, salespeople, marketing people. You know, when the Bible talks about, you know, in a multitude of counselors, there's wisdom, Proverbs 11:14. So getting that multitude of counselors has been incredibly beneficial. So many times when you're addressing a business issue, you're looking at it through one lens. And when we've been able to wrestle through this as a group, there's just amazing wisdom that comes forth. The other guiding principle would be, the other key to the group is having a couple clear guiding principles. One of them would be confidentiality. You know, we have a very strong confidentiality agreement where nothing is shared outside of the group unless it's something that you personally shared, not even with the spouses. Because, you know, we're all in church here together. We're all members of Covenant Life Church. And someone might be sharing about having to let people go or his business is really struggling. We don't want that to be gossiped about or talked about. And so I think it's important that you have a confidentiality agreement and that everyone agrees to abide by it. The other point is transparency. You know, in 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And as I talked about, this will take some time. You know, and that's why it's important that you keep the same key members of the group and that you're meeting on a regular basis. But you need to encourage transparency. And as I've seen the group grow over the last couple of years, people are talking about tough issues. You know, people facing lawsuits, people's businesses that are struggling, maybe on the verge of bankruptcy, personal financial issues, things that a lot of us are not likely to share even in a care group setting, a small group setting. So I think, you know, if you encourage that and you lead by example, transparency is key because the group is only going to be impactful if you get into those kind of meaty issues. If you just keep it on the surface and everyone just sort of postures and tries to talk about how successful they are in business, it's not going to be effective. So transparency is one of the key guiding principles. And then finally, the meeting format is critical. And this was copied even by some of the secular examples, but we approach it by taking kind of the Socratic dialogue, where for the first part of the meeting, well, stepping back, when we have the meeting, prior to the meeting, every person in the group does a personal assessment. And on a scale of 1 to 10, they rank themselves in 3 areas: personal, spiritual, and business. And it's kind of a subjective ranking. Guys, you know, we've tried to define it, but the whole point is you're looking to bring up issues. So if somebody's ranking themselves a 4 or 5 personally or 4 or 5 business, there's usually an issue there. Then we'll start the meeting by going around the table and everyone giving a couple minutes. Sometimes it drags on. You know, you need a strong moderator to crack the gavel. But, you know, you're looking to identify those 2 to 3 issues that you're going to focus on each meeting. And the self-assessment we found as an effective way to kind of bring issues to the surface.
Personal, business, and what?
And spiritual. So you're ranking yourself in those 3 areas. And we'll go around the room, and then we'll try to identify the 2 to 3 issues that we're going to focus on for the meeting. And then once we identify those issues, we'll ask the person who has the issue to define it as well as they can. And then we go through a process that's kind of, like I said, a Socratic dialogue where we're forcing ourselves to ask a lot of questions. Now, there's a lot of alpha dog leaders in the class that think they have the solution in the first minute of this thing. But like a lot of problems, you need to peel back the layers of the onion. It's not always the obvious answer. And when we discipline ourselves to asking a lot of questions and not making statements or giving speeches, it's much more effective. And so we'll probably spend 45 minutes to an hour on each issue, and we'll spend probably about 30 to 40 minutes asking questions, really trying to understand what is the root cause, what's driving this business problem. Then after asking all these questions, we'll have that individual state the issue again. And sometimes the issue is stated in a different way. Then we'll sort of go around the table and have people, you know, give recommendations, give suggestions on what they believe this person can do to make a change in this area or to address this problem. And then after that process takes place, that person will commit to 2 or 3 things that they can do or that they're willing to do between the next meeting to, you know, to move forward in that area, to make some changes. And that's another thing that's important as well, because sometimes you can get into this idea, like even in a small group setting, where it becomes group therapy, where it's sort of cathartic just to share the problem and nothing ever changes. And you guys have probably been in groups where the same issues keep coming up, or the same couple keeps talking about the same issues. But this is about accountability. And one thing, because it's not really a church ministry, it's business leaders, we can be tough on each other. And we can say, that's the second time you brought that up. What are you doing? Why are you not making changes in this area? Hit the road, pal. No, not that tough. But that is important that accountability has some teeth in it and that you force people to make changes, because we're all sinners and we all deceive ourselves, and it's not always easy to make the kind of fundamental changes that you need to have success in your business. So those are some of the guiding principles of the business leadership group. And like I said, we're going to have about 30 minutes at the end, but I've asked Jim Lutz, Eric Newquist, and Paul Schweitzer, who all serve in the group, who are members, to come and just kind of share their perspective, which I think what you'll find really encouraging and inspirational. And then we're going to, like I said, just have questions at the end. So this is the handheld mic. We'll just go in order. So Jim, why don't you go, and then Eric and then Paul.
If you don't mind, I'm going to sit down.
Okay, sure.
Okay. All right. Well, as Nelson said, my name is Jim Lutz, and I own a small graphics business. I've written my thoughts down because I think the worst way I could serve you is to ramble for 10 minutes, so I don't want to do that. Just a little background. You know how I kind of providentially stumbled into the business leadership group. Washington, D.C. is not my home. I was brought here because I had a basketball scholarship to American University, where I majored in basketball, and I've just noted here I minored in partying and hanging out. And I really worked hard at those things, and it showed in my first job after college. I was a bartender. Then from there, I was really preparing to play. I signed a contract to play professional basketball overseas, so I did that, came back, got a job as an underwriter with no finance background, but it was obviously entry level because it paid $6.75 an hour. You know, I knew you were going to laugh, especially you, Paul. But, well, not just that, but if you times that over the course of the year, it's well over $13,000. And then I became a salesman, which really I think was my skill set. And I worked for a small graphics company that had about 60 employees and did about $10 million in sales. And I didn't learn how to be an entrepreneur there. I learned how to run a business, and which was good and bad as I went on in my career. I left that job and started my own business. And really what I did was I didn't start a business. I just didn't want to tell people I was unemployed. But I did kind of start. I had a skill. I had some art skill, and I had some sales skill. And I just realized if I could just sell enough to provide for my lifestyle, I'd be okay. So that was 24 years ago. And really, for the first 13 years of my business, I was just I would describe myself as a sole proprietor without direction. And I did that well. Then I really was making good money, and I did what anyone who is a non-Christian making good money does. I built a really big house and bought a really nice car, and soon after things started to spiral. And that's when I got saved. I didn't get saved from my financial problems. I got saved from my sin problem. But everything changed, and so this is just sort of the background that leads me to BLG, Business Leadership Group. Next 6 years of my business, I'm just sort of putting out fires, and it's really only been in the last 5 years that I've really learn what it means to be an entrepreneur, because there's a big difference between being a business owner or being self-employed and being an entrepreneur. Let's see here. So anyway, as I was praying, now I'm a Christian, and now I'm actually seeing a business grow, and I'm being an entrepreneur. And as I'm praying about my business, the one thing I keep hearing in my prayer life, it's just that quiet, gentle voice, right? It's not that dramatic, like someone coming to you with a prophetic word. It's just like, just every time it's just you just need to get more people involved. That's what I kept hearing. So I prayed and then did research, and I realized I need a board of directors. And so I prayed for a board of directors, and I just thought that's a little odd, because it'd be nice to have a 5-person board of directors for a 3-person company. It's quite a weight ratio. But I did. I prayed for a board of directors. I thought that was the answer. And as I continued to pray, I got an invitation to the Business Leadership Group, and that was the answer to the prayer. Now, I'm not saying, and this is a question maybe for you guys at one of the meetings, I'm not saying I don't need a board of directors, but right now this Business Leadership Group is exactly what I need in my business. So that's just some background. In the midst of that, I think it's important to mention, I joined Marketplace Ambassadors, which is a ministry we have here. And Jim, you had mentioned something like that you have at your church or something. That's not what I needed. That was something completely different. Maybe you can mention or talk about the differences between a Marketplace Ambassadors and a Business Leadership Group, because it's definitely different. I also was seeking other men in the church and having one-on-one conversations with them over coffee, and that was incredibly invaluable. But that's not what I ultimately needed, because there wasn't enough accountability in that, and there wasn't follow-up in that. And so while that was helpful, and I still do those things, that's not what the Business Leadership Group does. So here we are at the BLG, and Nelson really hit on all the main points. I just want to reiterate some of those that were important to me. First of all, it's all Christian men. There is a place for doing this with non-Christians, and I think that might even be where some of you are called someday, because the evangelism opportunities are unbelievable. But we're all Christians, so there's no evangelism going on in our group. This might be doctrinally wrong to say. I'm just going to say it. Again, Paul's the first to laugh. The men in the group are Christians. They are, but they all love the Lord. And I think you can be a Christian and sort of just like the Lord. And here's what I mean by that. They're humble. The men in this group are really humble. They're very successful, but they're really humble, and they really have hearts to serve. And that combination lends itself to a very effective meeting, because you mentioned it. You don't have guys coming in saying, "Oh, I'm going to show who I am." I mean, you got Eric here who runs. You'll have a chance, maybe hopefully, to talk about your company. Very successful, one of the biggest and most successful companies in this whole county. And Eric will come in and just say, "Guys, I need help. There's an issue, and I don't know how to handle it." And that's pretty humble. That's a great example for me. And then you have guys, the hearts to serve. The guys have rallied around me. It's not a false sense of humility to say that I have the least experience in the group. I just do. And the guys have just really rallied, come to my office and seen how I operate and sit down with me and set up, help me to do budgeting and planning and hiring. And it's just been incredible. And you don't get that in a care group. You never will get that in a care group, because the wives won't allow it. And you won't get it in a Marketplace Ambassadors. Man, again, maybe Nelson, you can talk about the difference between the two, because some of your churches probably have some sort of a business group, but it's not what we're doing, I'm sure. My personal experience has been, Nelson already went over the meetings. I'm just going to say some of these things again, because I think it's helpful. He won't say this about himself, but he's a very good leader of these meetings because he's very purposeful. We're all pretty busy, no matter how big or small our company is, and so we don't want to waste time. And he comes in, we have a purpose. We've already assessed ourselves, so we know who has issues. We go around the room. We sort of dissect our assessments because sometimes there's issues that even the person who does the self-assessment is not aware of. And then we're purposeful to listen, ask, listen, ask, listen. And I think, as you mentioned, with business leaders and men who can be prone to pride, you can want to hear it first and then just address. So we're training ourselves to do that. And then the advising part and the follow-up part is also critical. My personal experience is that I came into the group thinking, okay, I really want to serve. I know I'm going to be served. That was a no-brainer. The money really was I shouldn't say this, but it was very reasonably priced. For me to spend $1,200 for the year, I'm getting an MBA degree. I really am. Actually, I'm getting better than a degree because I have eight professors dealing with me, or 10 or 12, as opposed to going to, you know, GW's law school and sitting in there with a bunch of other folks who want to run hedge funds. I'm getting a degree for $1,200. I mean, that's just incredible. Plus, the money is going to go to something good, too. But I came in thinking I want to serve, and I think that was the most important posture for my heart, was not to just be a taker, but to somehow be a giver. And I think, okay, you got guys dealing with legal issues. How am I going to help with that? You have a guy dealing with how do I manage a department of my business that has 100 people. Well, I have no experience with that. So the Lord just revealed to me early on, just pray. Right now, just pray, and he'll give you a role. And I found that that role actually takes place during the meetings, too. So if you ever get something like this going, especially in the midst of the meeting, don't forget to keep praying. Nehemiah, there's a great story in Nehemiah where he's asked a question by the king. And it just, the scripture just simply says he prayed before he answered. And so as guys are sharing, I just find myself oftentimes praying, Lord, give these men around the table discernment to hear. And then as the men are advising, I'm praying for the guy listening. Lord, give him a heart to receive. And I'm seeing an answer to prayer. Maybe this was happening before I got there, and it probably was, but I feel that that's a great role I have. Paul said this at our dinner. He said, it doesn't make any sense not to be transparent. And Nelson mentioned that. What a waste of time to get in a group like this and waste. It is a waste if you spend 4 hours a month in your busy schedule and you're not going to be transparent. It's not just a waste of time. It's sin. It's pride. And then God resists that. And so I've learned from these guys, don't come in and try to sugarcoat your issue. Just lay it out there and be served. Just the other note I hear is that I've found this is what happens in the group. We find the problem. We expose it, we address it, and then we follow up with it. And you had mentioned how the follow-up is critical, and you oftentimes won't get that in most business meetings, even within the church. And how am I doing on time? I don't want to go over 10 minutes.
Yeah, just 8 minutes.
Okay, then that's perfect to share. Just something I read this morning. I prayed this morning over a cup of coffee. Lord, just give me a verse. And before really I even finished the prayer, this story came to mind right away. First Kings, King Rehoboam's facing a serious issue in the kingdom. And it says here, then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who had served his father Solomon during his lifetime. And he asked, how would you advise me to answer this issue or this problem? It goes on to say, Rehoboam rejected the advice of the elders that the elders had given him, and he consulted the young men who had grown up with him, who were serving him, and he asked them, how would you advise me? Well, as it turns out, the young folks gave much different advice than the elders, and it was terrible advice. And then here's what the scripture says, rejecting the advice he had been given by the elders, he followed the advice of the young men. And as that story came to mind, it immediately made me think, as business people, we might not be seeking counsel of peers or young people, but our heart is constantly giving us counsel. And if we're not getting counsel from elders, we're following our heart and we're going to make bad decisions. And I mean, how many business people, that's your testimony. I don't get help. I make a decision. And boy, what a bad choice it was. So that's it.
Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome.
My name is Eric Newquist, I've had the privilege to be part of this group here since its foundation. I, like Paul Schweitzer, participated in a secular peer group called Tech many years ago. Participated in it for a little over 5 years, and the Tech format was similar to what we do, but it was broken up into two components. You had a young executives group, and this could maybe speak to some nuts and bolts if this is a vision that you want to maybe take back to your local church. And it was a young executive group. So that group had peers who would be general managers or division leaders within their business, or if you're in a small business, maybe just you. And then you had a chief executive group where you would have people that were either owners or sat on boards or senior level managers. So that was the format for TAC, which is a worldwide peer group organization that still exists today. There are also Christian versions of this. You could have, I don't know the names of all of them, but C12. There's very, very similar. But we had a vision that we wanted to do this in our local church. And it was just so great to hear Bob this morning talk about how Proverbs lays out what wisdom looks like. And it's simple. And I'm so glad it's simple because I'm a simple person and I need simple truth. And I think we all fall in that bucket, is that we want God's word is simple. So kind of him to make his word clear and simple for us to understand. And we wanted to come together as a group of executives and apply God's simple truth to our simple lives. And so the format, as Nelson spoke to, I don't want to give too much more of that detail, but what it does provide is a couple things that are important, I believe, to make it work. And we have a care group structure at Covenant Life Church that's for family care and family life. We meet a couple times a month and go over family issues, etc. But in this environment, for me personally, there was a couple things that were very important. One was confidentiality. Is that in business there or in business life, there can be lots of issues that could be damaging if it got out, or there could be someone could be thinking about selling their publicly traded company, and you could have an SEC issue. So there's varying levels of just not only legal responsibilities, but just moral, ethical, and it can be spiritual issues as well. If you're sharing a specific thing about yourself or your wife or your child, looking for input. The accountability, I think, is the key. And for just give a couple stories for me personally. I participate in a family business that is third generation. I'm the son-in-law and the third of that generation. So you can imagine there's lots of dynamics within a closely held family business that exist. And I'm very grateful to the Lord that we have excellent senior ownership. But there are dynamics that happen in a family business that are somewhat different than corporate culture. And there are secular resources for that. There's family business councils, et cetera, that we can go to and get counsel. But for me personally, that counsel, I want to come from my local church and my friends, because this is where God has placed me and placed my life. There is value in outside counsel, and I think that's wise. But I needed that real time. I wanted to be able to apply Proverbs real time in my life on a monthly basis when I meet, so that I can live that life out in my local church and with my brothers and sisters that I expose my life to. So this past year, I'm just going to give an example of some of the things that I personally talked about, and I'll keep it at a level here. One of my brother-in-law, who's in the business, had a particular issue that we had some disagreement upon, and in our family business, that resulted in a conflict that was very difficult. And I was able to share that with these guys and get godly counsel. And it's counsel that wasn't just there was a simple business answer, but then there's also a relational and spiritual answer that I need care for my soul on. Okay? And I think that's the value of these groups within the local church, because we can apply God's word. And that issue that was in our family resulted in about 6 weeks of us not speaking to one another, and me and this my brother-in-law. Very, very difficult. And these men cared for me throughout that process. What did that look like? Asking me questions. Eric, are you obeying God's word in this? What are you doing practically that you committed yourself to do? How are you dealing? How are you following up? Are you praying? How are you loving? So those are things that they practically helped me with. Now, by God's grace, the issue was resolved, and it was resolved in a God-glorifying way. But without that peer group, I think I would have been left to my own devices, and I know what they would have been. It would have been destructive because my best efforts, the emotion of it, the difficulty of it would have been very difficult. Now, by God's kindness, His purposes always prevail. The gospel's unstoppable. But I want my life to be an example. I want the hyphen on my tombstone to represent Christ. So this group has impacted me personally to be able to invest in that hyphen, so that we bring glory to God in my local, in my business, and in my life. So that's just a practical example. Now, obviously, that's that wouldn't happen without the accountability. I'm just real quickly. I'm rambling here for a second, but I want to focus on accountability. The words that were spoken this morning by Bob, I think, are excellent for our soul, and we should read those every morning. But we need to speak about, we need to talk about them. We need to sit at the city gate and discuss those things over our vocation that God has put us in, whether that's a business or a home. And I think there's value in that, in that structured environment to build faith that we can transfer to our children, that we can transfer to our local church, so we can edify the local church, not just financially, but so we can cast vision for the next generation of our kids. And I think that's valuable. So we have as in this peer, one of the burdens that we're discussing now, and even as a group, is how do we cast vision for the next generation in our local church to aspire to do what we do, to love God with our soul, mind, and all of our strength. So this is a vehicle for that. It is very easily transferable. And as we're joking here before anyone came in, we're kind of disappointed in the title of the seminar, because I really believe that what Bob spoke about this morning, this is a vehicle that you can go home to your local church and practically put into place quickly and see excellent benefit. So thank you. Paul.
Thanks. All right. Well, my name is Paul Schweitzer. I'm an area vice president for a local distribution company. We sell wire and cable for computer and voice networks inside and outside the facility. We're part of a larger company that's part of another larger company. So we're literally part of a Fortune 500 company that has 7,000 employees now and, the $7 billion a year. When I started with this company, there were about 20 employees, and it was a single location type of endeavor, where now we have 400 locations. So I have the privilege of working with the local group. We have about 50 employees at our location, and a fairly good sized inventory here locally. I also participated in TAC, a similar group that got together on a monthly basis, and so I kind of knew the value of getting together and doing something like this. My company paid $5,000 to $6,000 a year to participate in tech. So it's a significantly a lot more than the $100 that we're talking about. So, I think that you have to look at what's unique about this, and it's kind of easy for me going forth here because these guys did a great job describing it. I think you probably have a pretty good idea of what we're talking about, So it's basically a small group or a home group for business. That's really what it is. And when you talk about what can you do in a group like that you can't do on Sunday, if you're in a 100-person church or a 1,000-person church, you get great teaching. Someone put a lot of preparation into the message, and you can take notes and everything else, but it's really in the doing and applying of the Word of God to your life that you grow. And so how do you grow? How do you apply? Well, small groups in a church give you that opportunity to apply to your specific situation. And I think in the business world, there's just not a lot of opportunity for that. So think about the unique part of this. To me, that's where the real value is, that you have people that you're meeting with on a monthly basis. There's 8 to 10 to 12 people typically in a meeting. They're the same people. And so there's something very unique about that. If you consider, you know, it takes a while to explain a situation. It takes a while to explain your company, right? There's different players in your company. So if you're going to sit down with somebody who's fairly smart in business and wise and you can get counsel with, it's going to take you 10 to 15 to 20 to 30 minutes just to give them the background. Well, we meet together all the time, so we know each other's businesses fairly well at this point. We have a good idea of who's who. You know, so there's that general background. So then when you have an issue, there's a context that's already established that you can describe your situation. Oh, yeah, that kind of makes sense given on what we know about your company. So we took time in the early stages to do some general overviews of our businesses so that we could learn one another's businesses. So there's that unique part of this. And then the other aspect is that, you know, 4 hours, you might think that's a long time. 4 hours, my goodness. And on top of that, we meet at a country club in the dining hall. So we're essentially sitting there watching golf carts go by, and I'm like, if I'm going to take 4 hours out a month, I want to go play golf. I don't want to sit there and sit in a room watching other people play golf. It's kind of painful. You know, so my kids, you know, and others, they when I describe kind of what we do, some are, they're like, you do what? What are you talking about? So my kids, they're trying to understand it, and they nickname it the money club. Oh, dad has his money club today, you know. And it's not, you know, that kind of sounds more like a we're learning how to invest our money or something like that. So they kind of get it, but they make fun of me. They're always like, oh, you're taking the afternoon off. My coworkers, same thing. They're like, oh, you got the afternoon off today? That's what you're doing. So all of this, I say to why? Why are we doing this? Why are we taking the time to do this? Because you know what? The Flash, naturally, I would prefer to be playing golf. You know, it's easier to play golf. Why do we do it? It's because we value all the stuff that we learned about, we heard about this morning, about Proverbs, about applying, you know, and growing in wisdom, all of these different things. That's why. And so I guess my question to a lot of you would simply be, where do you go to satisfy this need in your life? What do you do? Do you have some people that are maybe in your church's small group that you have a good relationship with, and so you get together and have coffee with them? You know, where do you go to apply Scripture? Because really, there's a requirement on us. There's an expectation that we would be fruitful and multiply, that we would subdue our work life. You know, these are all biblical mandates that are part of our calling, and it's hard to do that. It's not easy. You need help. You need wisdom, and that's what Proverbs talks about, the counsel of others. And so you want to develop in your life some forum, some format to be able to do that. This is just one. I mean, is 4 hours the right number? I don't know. Maybe if you had a group of four people, 2 or 3 hours might be a good deal. Maybe all day's better. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of different ways you could do it. We've toyed around with the format. This seems to be a pretty good groove and works for us well. So, you know, from that aspect, I would just encourage you to find a way to have that kind of counsel. The other unique thing about this is the input and counsel that we get is unbiased. You know, I have the privilege of working with some very bright people, and they are smart. They know what they're doing. They're good business people. They know our industry. But when I have an issue at work and I sit down and counsel with my other managers and stuff, they all have a vested interest in the situation that we're working. You know, so because of that vested interest, everyone's sitting there going, well, how's this going to impact me? So in this group, we don't have that. We actually have a requirement that if someone's in the same industry who's a competitor or something like that, you can't be in this group. So we want to maintain some level of independence and sense of being unbiased. So, you know, if I share an issue, Eric doesn't really, he doesn't care. He doesn't care if, you know, we should fire this guy or get rid of this guy or reorganize this group or do that. He's looking at it. He cares because he's a brother in the Lord. He cares because we're all committed to doing this, but he doesn't have that vested interest, which is going to cause him to think about it differently. So I've just really benefited from that aspect. I want to try and cut this back a little bit because we've talked about so many different things, you know, just from a lot of different perspectives with others. The this morning, one of the statements that we heard in the early message was the collective wisdom from others. And I just jotted that down. You know, collective wisdom from others, it's so important. If you've been in a small group, you know that if someone else is working an issue or someone else has a problem they're working through, you benefit when the other person talks, right? It may not be your issue, and maybe there's someone's talking about something for 30 to 40 minutes, and you're sitting there listening and you're participating, but you're also taking away something from that issue that that person is working. And so there's always a benefit. It may not be that you're the one that has that hot pressing issue, but you know something's gonna you're gonna get something out of it. So there's that aspect as well. We have in our group the benefit of we have an attorney, we have a business consultant, we have these hedge fund guys, we have small business owners, we have some people in some larger companies. They all kind of have an entrepreneurial element to who they are. And where can you go and get free legal advice? I mean, I just sit there and go, what a blessing to sit here. And our group is a little bit unique in the way that it's made up. But you got to ask yourself, where can you get that kind of, you know, general business input from all those different disciplines? It's just a privilege. It's just a privilege, a unique privilege to be able to do that. So as you're thinking about trying to form a group on your own or do something like this, give a lot of thought to who do you want in the group. You want to form it with folks that are going to be committed, that are going to come with skill sets that are going to be complementary to what you're after and what you're trying to do. So specifically, I had a number of personnel issues that the group has counseled me on. Some of the legal aspects were very helpful. Some of the accountability in terms of, hey, you know what, this is a big deal and something that you need to take action on quickly. And so that kind of thing has helped me to not just ignore an issue or two, but to say, hey, I really got to do something about this. Some of the reorg issues with a smaller company being bought and then being bought again, we deal with a lot of organizational things of how do you maintain the culture that you had before but still meet the requirements of an SEC, you know, Fortune 500 company. How do you deal with all that stuff? You know, this is a great forum for me to work through issues like that, you know, strategic issues, things along those lines. So this is some of the stuff that we'll talk about. Work life, you know, home life balance issues is another big thing that we talk about. You know, the three areas that we do that we weigh in with the 1 to 10 numbering system. You know, if you put anything up there below a 5, the group's going after you. If you float a, you may not really know, you know, that you're having exactly what your issue is, but you know you're struggling in a certain area, and you throw a 4 up there. And as we go around the room and we're collecting the issues for the day with our quick download, you're either going to zone in, oh, you're what's going on with that 4, you know, and we may take 30 to 40 minutes just to drill into, you know, what's going on with that. It's a place where you can get that input that you need. And as you look back over time at your scores, you can see trends in that, hey, you know what? Yeah, my soul needs help, or I need some wisdom in this area, and, you know, that kind of thing. So it's just been a blessing. It's been a great thing for us. And